Welcome to People in Digital, the podcast. My name is Amélie Behrens. I am a CX design and leadership coach. I'm leading the CX revolution towards the human-centered design era. No more, no less, my friend. And with me, you're going to take action, build confidence, and deliver in the most radical human way. Here is what I propose to you. Every week, you'll discover a new episode focusing on a mix of big picture thinking and step-by-step actions to follow through discussions with experts who are passionate about people or the digital industry or both. Also, I craft special episodes to develop your mindset and your self-awareness because that's where lies your superpower. It's packed with everything you need to know to build a better, more impactful, and more sustainable business in your industry and make the best decisions for your career or your business. So, what are you waiting for? Start taking action and create a positive impact today by signing up for the podcast. It's like a little commitment for yourself because the only way forward is to focus on people and yourself, of course. I'm also very happy to invite you to the Leader Attitude, the only newsletter that helps you to take your power back by focusing on mindset, people, and execution. It's an exclusive weekly email that you can read at your own pace to help you remember the concepts. I will also notify you when I launch new stuff, products, group coaching, trainings, and other fantastic surprises, of course. Sign up today on amelieberens.com. All the links are also in the description. And join a growing community of leaders like you who have decided to take a turn in their career or their business. Oh, and one last thing. Please remember, it's always a good moment to start. On to the podcast now. Welcome to People in Digital, the podcast that helps you to design your career with confidence in the most radically human way for ambitious managers who are sick of the unsustainable growth frenzy. My name is Amélie Behrens, customer experience consultant and career coach. I'm here to help you increase your confidence and take the right actions because I strongly believe it's the only way for you to get unstuck and make things happen without falling for all the marketing fluff out there. Every week, you'll discover a new episode focusing on a mix of big picture thinking and step-by-step actions to follow through discussions with experts who are passionate about people or the digital industry. It's packed with everything you need to know to build a better, more impactful, and more sustainable customer experience in your industry. And of course, take the best decisions for your career. So what are you waiting for? Start taking action and create a positive impact today by signing up for the podcast. Because the only way forward is to focus on people and, of course, yourself. I am also inviting you to the CX Attitude. It's the only CX newsletter that helps you design your career in the most radically human way. It's an exclusive weekly email that you can read at your own pace to help you remember the concept I share. I will also notify you when I launch new stuff, products, group coaching, and other fantastic surprises. Sign up today on amelieberens.com and join a growing community of ambitious managers like you who have decided to take a new turn in their career. Oh, and one last thing. It's always a good moment to start. On to the podcast now. Today, I'm happy to present you Mélanie Bucaro. She's a life coach who helps high achievers back to confidence, create performance and enjoyment when it feels like they've lost their mojo, they lost their way. I could relate to that. And I also had the chance to discuss with Mélanie already, and I was really eager to learn more about her method. In this episode, she debunks the myth around coaching. She explains the power of your thoughts and feelings and how you can reprogram your brain. Yes, that's a thing. It's an empowering episode where you'll discover the recipes to willpower and discipline, which is exactly what you need to reach all your objectives. Sounds great, right? Well, that's your program in the next few minutes. I just have one disclaimer for you. as Melanie and her stories might create some mind-blowing sensation, so you know. And now, let's go. Thank you, Melanie, for joining the show. Today, I'm very excited because today we're going to talk about coaching, which is a very, very trendy topic. But I know that with you, we're going to go without any bullshit into that topic and discover what it is exactly like coaching and how we can step out of our own way, because it's what you do. But you're going to talk about that way better than I do. So I would like you to introduce yourself with, Melanie, who are you and what do you like to do?
All right. Well, I'm very excited to be here as well, Emily. It's a pleasure to be here. And I also think it's hilarious when two French-speaking people speak English together. I love that. So it's a good challenge for our listeners. Yeah, exactly. So I'm a life coach. I started my company as a life coach about a year ago. I've been coaching for formally life coaching for about 2.5 years, and I have been coaching and mentoring informally without certification as part of my or on the side of my job for maybe 20 years now or something like that, and that's what I love to do. I don't tell this to my clients, but I would pay for the privilege to coach. I love coaching. I love the aha moment with people when they suddenly realize what has been blocking them, limiting them, and when they manage to get over it. And I love to be part of that. It's a little bit like being a midwife, you know, and I've never delivered a baby, but I imagine it's a little bit the same, you know, when you finally get the head out and the baby out and the baby starts crying and you have this new life into the world, and it's beautiful. So that's what I love doing. Yeah.
It looks like magic to me already with your comparison. So I can't wait to hear more about that. So, to coaching, like I said, very, very trendy topic. You have coaches for everything and anything. I feel like coaching is the new magic thing that you can do if you're stuck into something in your life. But you're a life coach, and I would like your opinion on why this coaching is important.
So there's coaches everywhere, and coaching is booming right now because it works. It's very effective. So it's a little bit like, I don't know, maybe 30, 40 years ago, everybody started to have a psychotherapist, you know, or an analyst or something, because there was actually some benefit in having your mind looked at by someone. So there's a big difference between a therapist and a coach. If you imagine a sports team, the therapist will be more like the doctor who is there to maybe think about, I don't know, nutrition on the preventive side, and then who will repair broken bones or help with ligaments and whatever. And the coach is the person who is going to help with the tactics, the strategy, what kind of exercise to do, all this kind of thing, right? So there's a difference between the two. And when you have a coach, whether it's as a sports person, whether it's as a CEO, whether it's as you and me, anyone, basically what the coach does is that they help you understand how you're looking at your situations, how you're looking at the world. And that's extremely important, because the way you're looking at your situation determines what you will try to do in the situation. So you will filter reality. Basically, the way you look at reality is through a filter, whether you like it or not, because that's the way the brain works. And so depending on the filter that you put on, you're going to see some things and not notice others. And that will inform very much what you're going to try to do in the situation, how much determination you will have, how much energy you will put, how much effort you will make, how much failure you will tolerate, etc. And to make it very simple, if you want to succeed at something, no matter what it is, it can be a tough challenge, or it can be finding love, or it can be losing a few kilos. I mean, whatever your goal is, the only way to succeed with your goal is to take action until you succeed. Right? So it's extremely, extremely simple. Just take action until you succeed. But in order to take action, you need to fuel your action with a lot of feelings. You need to fuel your action with determination, with creativity, with curiosity, with motivation, with courage, with like so many different feelings, right? And your feelings, we all believe that our feelings sort of pop up in our body because of whatever situation we are in. So we think that we look outside the window, it's beautiful weather, so we feel happy, or it's rainy, so we feel sad. But it's not the way it works. Between the situation and our feelings, there's always a thought. So we don't always notice it because we think very fast and we think a lot of similar thoughts from one day to the next. But whenever you look at your situation, the situation you're in, the character you have, the past you have, whatever features of the circumstances you find yourself in, you have a thought about them. And it's the thought you have about that creates your feelings. And that's amazing news, because it means that if you understand what you're thinking about a situation, if you're able to notice what you're thinking about a situation, then you can change it if it's not helping you. And you can create a mindset that actually helps you get to your goal. So that's why you're asking me, why is it very popular with coaches? It's because it's very difficult to look at your own mind. It's not impossible. You can absolutely self-coach yourself once you have a little bit of technique. But it's much harder to look at your own mind than to have somebody help you look at your own mind. And it goes so much quicker. So you can absolutely coach yourself. That's absolutely possible. And this is what I teach my clients, how to coach themselves. But if you want to really go further and really go deep, it is so much easier if you have somebody who from time to time will help you point out what you're seeing. Because otherwise, you're looking at your own mind with your own mind. So you're blind to your own blindness, if you see what I mean.
I totally see. And I'm very familiar with the coaching, because for me, I would never be where I am today without having coaches behind me for very different stuff. And yeah, I'm totally a fan of that. So I'm definitely somebody who's in. But I wonder, on your side, what is something that people who never been coached or were hesitant, you know, doubting about being coach, what they believe about coaching, and what is it that they are wrong about?
So a lot of people think that coaching is going to take a lot of effort and a lot of time. So they're reluctant to get a coach because of that. Or they think that coaching is like snake oil, you know, that we're selling this amazing, wonderful solution, which is going to end up being a complete bullshit. But I think, the third thing that people have a tendency to think is that coaching works for everybody else, but it's not going to work for them. Right. And I can debunk a little bit all of those different myths. So first of all, coaching doesn't take more time than worrying or procrastinating or being indecisive or comparing and despairing or all the things we do when we are not managing our mind. Right. So if you get coached, there will be some work to be done. It's you can't escape that. But it's like, from time to time, you will need an hour or a couple of hours to get coached or to do some specific work that the coach recommends that you do. But most of the time, it takes about 10 minutes a day to coach yourself, right? Or to do your exercises. But it's exactly like brushing your teeth. You invest this time, this 10 minutes. So that you save yourself the trouble of caries later down the line. So you don't have to go and visit the dentist and get your teeth pulled out and a lot of very expensive and painful work to be done on your mouth. It's exactly the same with coaching. You invest 10 minutes a day so that you don't waste 3 hours procrastinating in the afternoon or worrying or going on Instagram and comparing yourself to everybody else and thinking everybody has a wonderful life except for you, right? Yeah, which we all do, because that's the way the brain works naturally, right? That's the first type of thing. People think it's going to take too much time and too much effort. Also, we think that we have this image of the coach, something like a witch doctor, you know, who's going to get into your head and see things that happen to you when you were four, and it's going to be very painful and it's going to be overwhelming. It's not at all like that. The coach is just a tool, basically, who is helping you with a method, but you steer everything. You decide what you want to talk about. You decide what we look at, what we don't look at, etc. And it's extremely effective no matter what you work on. Some of the most powerful coachings I've ever done or I've ever received as a client all started from very mundane questions. So it doesn't need at all to be something that will be invasive or very. It's not therapy. It's very different. It's very much in the here and now. What goals are you trying to reach? What's the difficulty you're facing? How to fix that?
Yeah. So you don't need to know exactly the problem you have to approach a coach. You can just come with this, you know, an emotion, a worry, something. You know, you don't need to elaborate much. You're gonna help for them.
Absolutely. It's my job to help you find a problem when you come and see me. So, and what I will also say is that even when my clients come to me and they think they know what the problem is, usually I am able to pinpoint that it's probably something else that is actually causing the issue. Right? So you just need to come with a symptom basically, and then I help you identify what the issue is and also identify what you can do to solve it.
Okay.
So I don't know. A lot of my clients come they're not able to do what they want to do. Like they've decided they want to go running and they cannot even put their shoes on and they always end up doing something different. Or they're ruminating with negative thoughts or negative feelings, and they don't know how to get out of this, and they don't recognize themselves. They used to be very positive, very engaged, very driven, and all of a sudden they are very negative, and they're not able to do the tasks that they have on their to-do list. Or they are confused and a bit lost. They would like to take the next step in their career. They know that they have more potential than what they are actually expressing, but they don't really know what or how or where, or they don't know where to look or how to look. So I help them identify what the problem is and how to go further in that direction.
Okay, so by talking with them, you help them to understand what's the problem, and then you get practical. That's what you said. That's the big difference, like the trainer. And so you propose exercises, or is it like instant magic? You can do both?
So the main skill of a coach, or a good coach, is to help you frame the problem in a way that will help you find solutions. Because very often what happens is that we describe the problem to ourselves in a way that prevents us from seeing the solutions. Mm-hmm. And so the job of a coach is really to help you reframe the problem in a way that makes the solution appear. Because once you know what the real issue is, it's much more easy to go about fixing it. And then I have tons of tools to help my clients to go about fixing their problem. But I never tell them what to do. I help them looking at the situation in a certain way. I give them more tools to look at the situation even more in finer detail, etc. But I never tell them this is what you should do, because I can never know for my client what is the best course of action for them. Even if they would describe their entire life to me in 40 hours, I would never know in all the details what actually is the best suitable option for them. I could never be as creative as they will be in the situation. But I make sure that they are fully equipped so that they are able to really understand what the situation is. If I give you an example, it's imagine that you're the world's best brain surgeon. So you're my client and you're the world's best brain surgeon, but you only have a butcher's knife. That's the only tool you have. It doesn't matter how successful you've been before at operating on brains. If you just have a butcher's knife, you're not going to be able to be as good as you used to be. So what I do is that I delicately remove the butcher's knife from your hand, and then I give you a huge array of tools, and I tell you this tool is for this specific thing, this tool is for that specific thing, and then I guide you in picking the tool I'm like the nurse sending the tools to the surgeon, if you will, but then you're the one operating on your own brain.
Okay, I like that story. I like that story. So that's why you said it requires courage, because there is a step where, okay, I have a problem, I feel bad about something, but then you need to gather your courage and your energy to come and see you, because the action is the next step. So that's something that is very hard to take action.
You don't necessarily need to be brave. You just need to be fed up with your problem
Ah, okay.
Or if, I mean, not everybody who comes to see me has a problem they want to be fixed. Some are very happy and very, very enthusiastic, and they have set a very big goal, and they want help to be as efficient as possible to reach their goal. So in that case, they're usually quite motivated, right? But if you're fed up with your problem or motivated by your target, that's all we need. That's enough. And for the rest, I will help you and guide you to find the determination, the courage if needed, the motivation, everything that you need to solve your goal. Right?
In my experience, when clarity just arrives, when I start to see clearly where is the path, it brings so much energy.
Yeah.
So usually that's not that hard. But I know, you just get, you need to get there anyway. It's a step to take to get some help. So it's definitely not an easy one. But then if you are sook, you got the tools. First you frame the problem. You got the tools. So what are the most common reason people are failing, if they fail, to be coached?
so the most common reason people fail at their goal, is that they quit.
I had to just give up. Right? Okay.
They give up, and because there's this wonderful saying, which is the difference between success and failure is 7 more failures.
Yeah.
Right? It's if you just continue, at some point you will find something. You will find something that works. You will have enough feedback to fine tune your actions, and you will take more effective actions, and you will succeed. And the thing is that if we knew ahead of time. Okay, Emily, you're creating your new company, and it will take exactly 1 year and 3 months before you succeed to the level that you expect or that you aim for. If you know, okay, it will only take 1 year and 3 months, then even if you're after 8 months, nothing has happened, you would continue to be super motivated, and you would just do the same, right? Because you know it's going to come. I just need to wait a few more months, and then it's going to be there, right?
Yeah.
The only difficulty we have is that we don't know exactly when things will succeed, and there is no difference. I mean, if you look at where you are today, there is no difference between it will work in 7 months or it will work in I don't know how many months. There is no difference, but we make it mean something different in our head.
Mm-hmm.
In one case, we're like, okay, I just need to continue, and in 7 months everything will be fine. And in the other one, we make it mean, oh, nothing is working, I'm a failure, this will never work out, etc. And that's the difference. That's the only difference between the two situations.
I can totally relate to that. But yeah. That's where you know that your mindset is trapped somewhere for something.
Exactly. So as a coach, I help you in particular, one example is just to remind you that if you knew exactly when you would succeed, you would continue. So the problem is not that you don't have the results. The problem is what you're telling yourself about where you are right now. Right. And so I put you back in the saddle so that you have motivation again, determination again, and you just continue. But quitting, I will say, is the main issue. And then the second issue is that, until we are taught the tools, we don't have those tools. And so, again, if I take my example again, you can be, it doesn't matter how gifted of a surgeon you are, if you only have a butcher's knife, you're not going to be able to do the kind of work that you would need to do in order to succeed. So the method in order to change your mindset is a lot of the success.
Yeah, okay. And so can you maybe, because so that's, the overview of how you change the mind of people, actually, so how they can get out of their own way. Can you maybe explain what are the different steps for getting really out of your own way? There is some specific, or it's always a custom path for everybody.
It's both a simple process, which I will explain now. And then I customize it for every single person, because every single person is unique and different, right? But the main steps are always the same, basically. And this you can use to coach yourself at home. I mean, it's simple. So the first step is you need to understand what you're thinking about your situation. And so the way to do that is just you write down on paper what you think about the situation. So for example, if you're going to speak in public and you're terrified. You're just going to take a piece of paper. It works better on paper, but you can also do it on your computer if you prefer, but I recommend to do it on paper. because it stimulates different parts of the brain and that's more effective. But so you're going to just write on paper everything you think about that conference. So maybe you think that you don't have enough time to prepare and people will laugh at you and you're not a good enough expert. And okay, you're maybe funny when you speak to people, but you're not structured enough. I mean, just say whatever comes to your mind. And also and on that day, I also have to go to the dentist just after the conference. I mean, whatever comes to your mind about this conference that you have to do, just write it on paper. And that's the way to get a bit of awareness of what you are thinking about the situation. And we have a tendency to believe that our thoughts, when we talk about mindset or our thoughts, that it should be these, amazing revelations or these, insightful thoughts that we have about the future or about our past or about who we are. Like, all of that is bullshit. Our thoughts, what is our mindset is exactly what I just told you. It's like they're going to make fun of me or I have a toothache and it's going to be difficult to speak. Or these are just like this is what we're thinking about the situation. Mm-hmm. And then the second step is that you look at what you've written down. Mm-hmm. And you look at the feelings that are created by the thoughts you have written down. So okay. when you think they're going to laugh at me, how do you feel? Probably afraid, right? Yeah. It could be different variations, but something like that. And then the next step, what you want to do is you want to understand from feeling like that, what do you do about preparing for the conference? So when you feel afraid, what do you do about preparing the conference? And what I'm guessing is that when you feel afraid, you spend a lot of time in your mind imagining all the ways the situation is going to be a disaster, like how the conference will fail and how you're going to be rejected by everyone and how you're going to end up living in a card box under a bridge. we usually come to that, right? But you're not actually going to prepare yourself in the best way. You're not going to ask somebody to listen to you while you present and help you improve. You're not going to take, all the steps that you actually know you could take, but that it's impossible or actually very difficult to take from fear, because what fear wants you to do is to run away or hide, but it doesn't want you to go ahead and face the preparations and face the situation, right?
Yeah. That's rare. That's something that we are just, that's something very special for us, huh? That we have the third choice, which is the hardest. And the one, why we need some coaches.
So, and then the next step is that once you understand what you are doing from that feeling and what you're not doing also, like preparing in an efficient way, then you have the opportunity of changing your thoughts. And so this is in two, you do this in a, there's two aspects of changing your thoughts. The first one is you need to find a different angle of you in the situation that creates a better feeling for you. So for example, if you're focusing on the thought, they're going to make fun of me, you're going to feel terrified. And that is, as we just saw, this is not very helpful. But maybe you can think of, speaking or doing that conference will actually help my team because it will make the knowledge about what we're doing broader throughout the company, right? So you can take a different angle, and maybe that thought, when you're thinking it's helpful to my team, maybe that makes you feel connected to your team.
Yeah.
And connected to your team is a much better feeling than terrified.
Definitely.
When you're feeling connected to your team, you're probably going to investigate how you can use that conference to maximize the benefit to your team. And that will help you take the kind of steps that means that you prepare in a better way, right? Or maybe you're going to think something that makes you brave. For example, it's difficult, but I can do difficult things. So you find a different angle of you into your situation. And you can do it by yourself, or you can have a coach helping you with that. I do that almost 24/7. I mean, every single moment I'm awake, I do that, changing thoughts, helping other people reframe, etc. So a coach will help you do that very, very quickly. And then the next step is to actually practice that thought. Because what will happen is that your brain will spontaneously, like an elastic band or like a boomerang, it will go back all the time to the thought it wants to think by default.
Yeah.
So every time you're not paying attention to what you're thinking or you're not managing your mind, your brain will think, they're going to make fun of me, this is going to be a disaster, whatever. And every time you need to notice and you need to think, oh, right, this is what I used to think. What I think now is that this conference is actually very beneficial to my team or whatever thought you have decided. And you really need to, it's exactly like going to the gym. If you have not been to the gym for a long time and you're trying to get a six pack, your body is going to try its best to not move.
That's why. Okay.
And so if you actually want to get the six pack, you're going to go and start to do the abs, and doing the abs, it's going to be painful and unpleasant. So it's exactly the same thing. Whenever you're going to try to focus on those new thoughts that you have, your brain is going to say, no, but can I please think this old thought that they're going to make fun of me? And you're just going to say, no, no, we're not lying down on the floor with our head, our arms to the side. We are actually putting our arms behind our head, and we're doing those push-ups and those crunches, right? Right? It's just a matter of motivating yourself also with other thoughts. Like you can have meta thoughts about the work that you're doing. So you can have thoughts about the fact that coaching is so difficult and it takes so much time. And when you're thinking that, what do you feel? You feel reluctant. And from the feeling of reluctance, you cannot do your coaching work. Mm-hmm. Or you can tell yourself, this is what I want for myself. I want to ace that conference. So I want to do my coaching exercises. And that creates determination, as you can hear, or motivation or courage or whatever you need. And from those feelings, you will do your coaching exercise. And from the coaching exercises, you will you will prepare for the conference.
And that's where the magic happens. Exactly. Yeah.
So it's a process. So first you put down your thoughts on paper. Mm-hmm. Then you identify what feelings do these thoughts create. Then you notice what kind of action do I take about my goal or about my situation from those feelings. Usually not very good, otherwise you wouldn't be talking to a coach. And then next step, what could I think instead in the situation that would create better feelings for me? And then last but not least, just do it. Practice the thought.
Yeah, practice. Yeah, voilà. That's the practice. Okay, super interesting.
And so if I can just add one thing, when we have a problem, the trap is there's two, I don't really like to divide people in two groups or whatever, but there's two big type of things that we tend to do as humans when we have a problem. Some of us or some people sometimes, what we do is we overthink. So we overanalyze the problem and we try to weigh the pros and cons in all many possible different ways and we just get lost in that. Mm-hmm. Or we overdo. So we try to fix things and do things and jump into action, right? And
guilty.
Some people are very, very much overthinkers. Some people are very overdoers. And overdoers. Many people are a mix of both and it depends on the situation, right?
Okay.
Both of these things, jumping into action or getting stuck in your thoughts, both of them are a sign that you're feeling a feeling that you're not liking.
Okay.
So you're resisting your feeling, basically, right? So in both of those situations, the best course of action is to not continue thinking and not continue doing. It's just do what I just explained. Write down what you're thinking. Notice what feeling these thoughts are creating. Notice what action you take from those feelings. Find a new angle in your situation and then practice your new angle, right?
Yeah, thank you. That's very tempting to start the exercise. I feel like I can do that for several topics. Several feelings and thoughts.
we can do this for all the time. I mean, I coach myself all the time and I do this basically for everything. I do this when... I don't know if I'm at the restaurant and I've decided I don't want to eat a lot of sugar. So many of the restaurants I go to, when you pay the bill, they put small candies or small caramels on top of the bill, you know, to be nice. And I love those, but I have decided I don't want to eat them, right? So I coach myself on what do I want to think? Because if I let myself think spontaneously, what comes up is, oh, this looks so nice, or it will be so nice, you know, or it will be so good. This is what I think.
Of course.
And when I think that, how do I feel? Permissive. And when I feel permissive, what do? I eat the chocolate or the caramel or whatever it was, right? So what I practice instead is I tell myself, I'm not going to give myself this candy because I'm giving myself the body I want. Right.
And okay. And so you just give the trick for tonight. It's perfect. Managing yourself before a chocolate.
Right. And so when I think that, and I believe it, it's not just thinking it. Yeah. If you don't believe it, it doesn't work. Right. The feeling comes with believing the thought. But when you believe it, and I do believe it, I do believe that I am actually giving myself the body I want, then it creates determination or discipline, at least. And then I don't eat it. And the magic with thoughts like that is that when you believe something that creates determination, it's like wearing a suit of armor. People can put whatever cakes, and they can be eating cakes and drooling and telling me, oh, this is so good, whatever. I don't even want the cake.
Yeah, because you like reprogrammed your mindset and you're done it.
Exactly.
Yeah, that sounds very powerful.
And it is extremely powerful because then you don't have to rely on willpower. You're becoming somebody who is not interested in the chocolate, which is so much more powerful.
Yeah, because we're not good at willpower, usually. I don't think it's one of our best stuff.
Well, it takes a lot of energy. So if you imagine trying to hold those big water balls that you can have at the beach, you know, those huge water balloons. If you try to hold one under the surface of the water, it takes a lot of strength. So you can do it. It's possible. But very quickly, you will not have any more strength. Or if maybe something distracts your attention or you feel something against your leg and you're scared, you know, you move like that. Whatever happens, you're going to let go of the balloon and the balloon is going to pop back. And what does it do? It pop in your face, right? And that's what happened with willpower. It's only efficient for a very short amount of time, and only if you can completely focus on and give your full energy to the willpower. So it's not a very, it's not an efficient method for, it's a good method if you have to, I don't know, if you need to inflict yourself a little bit of pain. I don't know, for example, if you have a splinter in your finger and you need to prick yourself to get the splinter out, willpower will help you do that, right? Because it's very limited in time. But if you need to, if you're trying to follow a diet for several months, willpower will not work. And as I said, it will backfire. So you will completely deprive yourself for 5 days, and then you will eat all the stuff that you have not eaten in the 5 days in one sitting, right? So.
Okay. Yeah, makes sense. Makes a lot of sense. And so that's how you know that it works, because you reach your objective, which might take some time because it takes practice. Or do you have already some flags like, hey, it's working? That's the impatient.
It's an excellent question. The flags are first that you start to notice that you believe.
Okay.
So you start to notice that you actually believe the new thoughts. Right? Mm-hmm. And then you start to have some results. So the results might not be your final result, but you start to get milestones. Mm-hmm. So for example, if you have an ambitious goal to create a company, for example.
For example.
Just take an example. Right? Then you might start by thinking, okay, you want this, but at the same time you feel overwhelmed by everything that needs to be done, and you feel incompetent and inadequate, and all the feelings, right? Mm-hmm. And then you start to practice new thoughts, and you might still not have any client and not have made any money, and you might not still have finalized your product or whatever, but you start to notice that you are actually able to work diligently for several hours a day. Whereas a week before you were not able to do that because you were just overwhelmed and you were just in your head all the time. So maybe you were sitting in front of the computer, but nothing was happening.
Right?
And now because you believe the thoughts, you notice, okay, I've actually spent 5 hours today working on my company and doing this and doing that and being productive, like real productive, not hiding yourself behind the, you know, moving your hands on the keyboard.
Getting busy for the sake of getting, so you see yourself moving forward, and that's the first hint to say, okay, it's working.
If I take the example of the diet again, you might still not have lost any weight. You're still exactly the same weight, but you notice that you're following your diet protocol. You're eating only what you should be eating at the times you should be eating. So you notice the discipline that is taking place.
Okay. All right. And does that require some self-awareness, like a certain level of self-awareness to start with, or we can start from nothing? Like we never asked help before, for example.
So you need one important piece of equipment in order to start coaching, which is a human brain. If you don't have a human brain, it won't work.
Okay.
If you can provide the human brain, the coach will be able to help you and give you everything that you need. So it's like everything. All right. If you come to a piano lesson for the first time and you're already quite good at playing the piano, it will go much quicker to play that symphony that mm-hmm. you want to learn, right? And if you're a complete beginner, mm-hmm. it will take a bit more time. But okay. in both cases, you will end up playing what you want to learn how to play. So it's no problem.
Okay, super clear. So good. We are all there then. And what would be the one action you'd recommend to somebody new who's thinking about, you know, taking some coaching sessions?
Well, so there's two things I think in your question. First is if you're considering taking coaching, what would be my tip, right? And then if you want to work with your mindset, what would be my tip?
Okay, let's go.
Perhaps, yeah. So if you want to work with your mindset, do what I told you before. Write down your thoughts, assess the feelings they create, look at the actions you do from the feelings, and then find a better angle and then practice your angle, right?
Okay.
So very simple, just do that.
All right.
Right. Then if you want to look for a coach, if you're interested in being coached, I think the first thing the only thing that is really important is that you find somebody that you have a good feeling for, a good vibe with, right?
Yeah.
It's like, there's tons of different coaches. I'm a life coach, which means that I coach on tons of different topics, not just career or not just private life or relationship or weight or whatever. I have a very all-encompassing view of the person. Basically, in my opinion, and in the school of coaching that I follow, I believe that it's the same mind creating all of the life that the person has. So if we work with that person in one area of their life, they will always have ripple effects, positive yeah. ripple effects in the other parts of their life, right? But there's tons of different schools out there. There are some people who prefer to be told what to do, you know? I told you before, yeah. I don't tell my clients what to do. I give them tools and I guide them very clearly on how to use the tools, etc., and what situations, what tools work better. But I never tell them... you know, if they come to me for relationship advice, I don't tell them dump the guy and find a new person. That is not my job. But I tell them what kind of questions could they ask themselves?
Yeah.
How could they assess whether the relationship is good or not, right? Or if somebody comes to me with a question about how to get rid of their imposter syndrome, I will tell them the kind of steps that will work and how what kind of questions they can ask themselves once again and how they can look at it in a different way, etc. But I'm not going to tell them you should go and do this project or you should go and talk to that client. You know, that's for them to figure it out. I'm always there to discuss the thought and whatever, but I'm not going to recommend a specific course of action. But there are some coaches who will coach you and tell you, okay, what you need to do is you need to set up a website and it needs to look like this. And same thing with your mindset. You know, you need to practice this and you need to do 5 push-ups every morning or you need to sleep longer hours. So some people prefer that kind of coaching. And then you need to find a coach that will deliver this kind of work.
Okay, so some research is in the conversation.
I would give two advice. Follow people on follow coaches. Everybody now is on social media, so follow yeah. coaches on social media and find somebody that you click with.
Yeah,
a good coach does not need to have the same experience that you have.
Yeah.
So that is less relevant in my opinion. But you need to click with them because you need to feel the trust. You need to be able to be vulnerable towards your coach. And you cannot do that if you're a little bit guarded with the person, right? So you need to find somebody, like if you're somebody who is very informal, very funny, find somebody who is very informal, very funny. If you're somebody who is very more serious, more structured, and you like, you know, step one, step two, find somebody who is more like this. That's the most important thing. And then the second advice I would give is find a coach who has a coach. A coach who doesn't get coached, in my opinion, cannot be a good coach. Because if you're not working on your own mind, it's very difficult to help other people work with their mind. Because then what you're doing is, it's as if I'm coaching you for a race, and I never run.
Yeah.
All the advice I'm going to give you is going to be very theoretical, and I'm not going to, like, you're going to report back to me and you're going to tell me, oh, I feel this in my heel, and I'm just going to give you, you know, cookie cutter kind of answer. I'm not going to be able to remember that, oh yeah, right, it could come from this, it could come from that, and I remember when I felt it like this, it was because of that, but first I thought it was this other thing, but then I checked, you know, like, you will have the practical experience that will help you understand.
Okay.
So somebody who doesn't work with their own mind, in my opinion, they cannot be a good coach.
A good coach. And what, you just asked to the coach, and are you coached as well?
That's what I ask my coaches, yeah.
Okay.
I don't ask, are you coach? I ask, who is your coach?
So yeah, okay, so you see the design. Okay, super interesting. Never done that, should do that next time. Perfect. Okay. Super interesting. But I have maybe a last question for you. What did you wish you knew about coaching before you started?
I wish I knew it existed. Because the minute, like, the first time I heard about this, the first time I heard that, I mean, the two big pieces of information that I shared earlier, but I'm just going to reframe them or restate them in a different way, is that all of your actions are determined by your feelings, and your feelings are created by your thoughts. Or if I say it the other way around, your thoughts create your feelings, and your feelings drive your actions.
Yeah.
The first time I heard that, my mind exploded, literally.
Yeah, I have a feeling now. Right? Like,
and so as soon as I heard that, I started, I was so curious, and I wanted to know all the things, and I wanted to train in all the trainings, and I wanted to just put everything aside and stop eating, stop sleeping, stop everything, and just learn more about this, right? This is basically pretty much what I've done. Right? But I think the thing I wish I knew was that it existed.
Okay.
Because as soon as I heard that it existed, I immediately saw the benefit. And I have made so many changes to my life with the method that I now use. I mean, in the past 2 years, I'm just going to give you a list of the things I've done for myself. I've mended the relationship with my mother. I was estranged from my mother for many, many years. And now I can go on vacation. It sounds completely, even when I say it today, I still have to pinch myself to remember this possible. I can go on vacation with my mother and enjoy it. And this sounds like impossible, because there were years in my life where I couldn't speak to her. We couldn't be in the same room. We would immediately have an argument. It was very, very tense. I lost 22 kilos. I completely changed profession. I used to be a program manager for big IT projects, and I've done tons of other things also before, but I completely changed, and now I'm not an employee anymore. I'm an entrepreneur. I'm not a program manager. I'm a coach, right? I used to spend every single cent that I have. And now I have, in the past 2 years, I have saved so much money that every time I think I don't have any more money left, I still have some. I honestly, it's like magic. It's like a lot of money popping up all the time, so that's kind of incredible for me. I was single for 7 years following a very messy divorce, and now I've been in a relationship for 6 months with an amazing guy. I never thought I would never date again. I thought it was like
that was awesome.
There's many other things in my life which are wonderful, and I'll just focus on that, and dating won't work, and I will never find a guy with whom things can work out. And I met an amazing, amazing, amazing man. And every single time I discover something new about him, it's like, how is it possible that every single secret, hidden wish I have about a partner, he embodies it so perfectly? So it's really amazing. And all of that because I coach myself, right? Or I got coached also, but all of that from coaching. So
that's incredible. That's a super advertisement. I mean, you really, your life is so different in so many, many, many aspects. It's very, very incredible. It's convincing.
But maybe the biggest change that I made, and which is the one I notice most day to day, is that I used to be down. Like I've always been very energetic. I've always done many things, but I used to be negative and down about myself and about my perspectives and about my chances of success a lot of the time. So I was very positive and very energetic with others, but in my own head, I was bitter. I was down. I was angry. I was resentful. There was all of these things going on. And the huge difference now is that now I'm at peace with myself. I enjoy my own company, which never happened before. I did my best to avoid my own company before, and now I really enjoy my own company. Not in an arrogant or conceited way, but just like it's more of a loving and peaceful relationship now. And also, what I can do is that it, of course, it happens regularly that I feel demotivated or discouraged or I don't feel like doing something or whatever. But now I know what to do, and literally within minutes, I can completely change my day. So I wake up very often with anxiety. That's something that happens to me very often. And it used to be like if I wake up with anxiety, I know that I have about a week in front of me of pure stress. Yeah. And then after about a week, something would happen and it would subside, and then I would feel better. And then a few more days later, I would feel anxious again, and here we go again. And now when I feel anxious, I have a little routine, and it takes about 20 minutes. So I wake up with huge anxiety, and 20 minutes later, poof, it's done.
And just with the type of exercise you described earlier.
Yeah, exactly that. But I do it very thoroughly. I do it very consistently. And I've done it so often now and so much that I have a lot of thoughts which are, you know, ready for me to employ. So I have a long list of the thoughts that I can use for different situations. And there are thoughts that are tailored to me. So they work for me because of my goals, my values, my personality, what's important to me, what's not important. They work for me. And this is exactly what I help my clients figure out. What are the thoughts that work for them?
That's super inspiring. Thank you for sharing, because it's super powerful. I mean, it's not that you discover now after the conversation. I knew that and I was already convinced, but now I'm like, wow, that's another level you just showed. It's really impressive. So,
maybe a final word, Emily, is that it's not like we are broken and we need to be fixed. It's not like we are sick and we need to be cured. It's not that we are not good enough and we need to be improved. It's none of this, right? We just have a human brain, and the human brain is designed for the life we had 100,000 years ago. Mm-hmm. So all the problems we have, they are actually features that would help us survive much more efficiently in the very dangerous world that we were made for. Mm-hmm. Right? So that means two things. First of all, it means that none of this is a problem. The fact that we get anxious, the fact that we compare ourselves to others, the fact that we can end up in analysis paralysis, the fact that we have imposter syndrome, all of this is not a problem. It's a feature.
Okay.
And when you understand it's a feature, it's like you can relax. Like, you are not the only one who does this or who is not able to do that. You are human. You have a human brain. So it's a feature. This is the way you're supposed to be working. It's just that it's very efficient in the world of living in the jungle or in a cave and fighting tigers or whatever we were doing 100,000 years ago. And it's less useful when you are working with Instagram and LinkedIn and leading a digital project or whatever. You know, it's just that. But so, first of all, it's just a feature. Nothing is wrong with you. You're fine, right? You just need to understand a little bit better how it works, why it works that way, and what can you do to circumvent it or use it for your own advantage, because you can, of course. And then the second thing is that this is a never-ending game. It's not like you fix yourself once and for all and then it's done, you know? It's more like a dance forever, or a game of chess with your own brain forever. And I like to use this example of a game of chess because I don't know how to play chess, but I love board games. So, and when you play board games, it's not fun to play with somebody who is not very good at the game or who is not very interested. And when you're playing with somebody who is just a little bit better than you, or who has just a little bit more luck than you, it's amazing, right? Because then you never know, you don't know if you're going to win, but you're motivated enough to try. And when you're managing your own mind, it's the same thing. You're going to have thoughts that don't work out for you, and you're going to work on them and figure out something that works better for you. And then your brain will adjust and will pop up new thoughts that create panic and anxiety and imposter syndrome and procrastination and indecision and all those wonderful things, right? And it's just a new round.
Yeah.
And that's like this until the end, basically. And it's a wonderful thing because it means that what you have an opportunity to do is that every single time it's like playing a new game with your brain. And you have the opportunity to win every time. And every time you win, you feel competent, you feel full of mastery, you feel exhilarated that you're able to be on top of things and make the situation work out for you. And those are wonderful feelings to feel.
Yeah. Mm. That's super encouraging, actually. That's very nice. Thank you for adding this because it's super important. I mean, that's definitely... worth a try. I mean, you need to worth a try. I'm going to make that exercise right now. I'm sure, I'm going through that, like you said, it's like a little exercise you do every now and then, and then even every day, and then boom, the magic happens. Love it. Thank you very much, Melanie, because it was super interesting, encouraging, and inspiring. So I'm very happy you shared all of this.
Absolutely welcome. And then if your listeners want to follow me on LinkedIn, I share a lot of those thoughts and I share a lot of exercise and ideas and things to go further there. So it's on LinkedIn, so it's very short snippets. But I try to give a lot of ideas on how you can change your mindset, how you can look at things from a different angle, et cetera, et cetera. So.
True. You got a lot of great stories. Definitely, I will send them there.
Great.
Thank you very much.
Well, thank you very much for having me. It was really a pleasure, and talk to you very soon again.
That's it for another episode of People in Digital, the podcast. Thank you very much for your time. I'm pouring my heart and soul into this, and I hope you liked it. If yes, let me know with 5 stars or a comment on iTunes. And if iTunes or Apple are not your thing, no problem at all. There are other ways you can help me out. For example, talking about the podcast around you or sharing it with some friends. It will for sure help me a lot. And who knows, it can also be helpful for them. Don't forget to check out the newsletter that goes with this podcast on amelieberens.com. I send a newsletter every Thursday. It's packed with very practical step-by-step actionable ways for you to take action, get confidence to get unstuck. You can also join me on socials to join the discussion on LinkedIn, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. I'm easy to find thanks to my name, Amélie Berens. Amélie like the movie, and I spell my name BEERENS. All the links are in the description. All right, see you then, and take care.